like to say something this afternoon about holiness. Our camp motto is holiness unto the Lord. And we've had that before us again and again this summer about being holy. Different thoughts come to us. I've heard a number of things that people have said as we've talked about this, and I've heard others talk about it. We've had a devotional book this summer for the staff, and each period of the four periods we've gone through it. There were 13 readings, so we're able to go through it. It's based on the Francis Ridley Havergal book, Kept for the Master's Use. And when the end of the fourth period came, and we had a youth conference, and the kids went home on Wednesday, I started counting the days. And I said, if I start today, I can get through it one more time by Labor Day. I really love this book, so for me, I'm on my fifth time. And I think some of you have come with me this time too, right? And today's reading is about holiness. It's this. I believe this is all about what holiness means. The title is of this reading is Ourselves Kept for Jesus, and it's based on that couplet in her well-known song, Take Myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. That phrase says it all. Ever only all for thee. In holiness, we have a number of thoughts. Certainly, it means to be pure before God. And in fact, the first period when we came to this day, I just came up for that night. I wasn't ministering here. There was another brother here. And I sat in the meeting, and he took this text. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I remembered hearing purity of heart means to want just one thing. One thing is needful. Jesus' love has gripped my heart. I want him, and I want him to have his way with me. He is my Savior and my Lord. I want to be, in other words, all for Jesus. Other things must be laid aside, the things that might take his place. Who has an NLT? Anybody here has a New Living Translation with you? Could you read the last verse of 1 John 5, please? Thank you. I'm forgetting how it goes, so you're going to help me. I'll tell you how it goes in the King James. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. But in the New Living Translation, it just grabs you.
Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts.
Thank you. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. All for Jesus. Pure in heart. That was Brother Kenny Friedman. I was so stirred when he spoke to us about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Doesn't it remind you of that verse in Hebrews 12 that says, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord? It must mean that holiness is important. We're called, as God's people, we are called unto holiness. And then the main thought in holiness, that's the Bible word is sanctification. Being a saint, being sanctified is being holy, and it means to be set apart. We are separated both from the things that defile us and separated unto God for holy service. To be his alone, or as we've been hearing, to shine for him, to show the world what he can do with the people that he saves. He brings them out of darkness into light, and then he puts his Spirit within them, and they live by his life, and they shine for his praise. A holy people, a people that is set apart, and that's God's call for his church. In fact, in the Havergal devotional for today, keep myself that I may be ever only all for thee. He will keep what thus he sought, safely guard the dearly bought, cherish that which he did choose, always love and never lose. And then she goes on with, set apart for Jesus. Is not this enough, though the desert prospect open wild and rough? Set apart for his delight, chosen for his holy pleasure, sealed to be his special treasure. Could we choose a nobler joy, and would we, if we might? Now, Lord, I give myself to thee. I would be wholly thine, as thou hast given thyself to me, and thou art wholly mine. Somebody said, holiness is loving Jesus. And another one said, holiness is belonging to Jesus. And all those thoughts are in there because we're a people that is special to him. We're his peculiar, unique treasure. We belong to him. Oh, take me, seal me for thine own, thine altogether, thine alone. It's a precious reading, set apart forever, for himself alone. Now we see our calling, gloriously shown, owning with no secret dread, this our holy separation. Now the crown of consecration of the Lord our God shall rest upon our willing head. Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness, God's holy people. We are saints set apart for Jesus and called to be saints, it says. And we are becoming saints. We are being sanctified. Another way to say that is being made into what he wants us to be, more and more like him, so we can show before, as Brother Luton said it this morning or yesterday, a watching world, that witness, that it might be authentic, that it might be a witness for Christ. Holiness unto the Lord. And this is really his ultimate goal with us. We read that he called us and chose us that we might be. The Father chose us that we might be his sons and daughters and be conformed to the image of his Son. For several months in our church on Sunday mornings, we've been going through John 17. And I suppose most all of you know that John 17 is a prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed just before he went to the cross. And he prayed for himself at the beginning of the prayer, and he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for all who would believe on him through their word. And that means that he prayed for us, for you, and you, and me. All who would believe on him through their word down through the ages. One of the prayers he prayed, took me a long time to get through this chapter. I thought it'd be 2-3 Sundays, and it was several months. And even when I got down to the last verse, I just didn't want to leave this chapter. So I said to the Lord, dear Lord, I want to do one more Sunday. I want to kind of wrap it up. Give me a verse from this chapter that would do that for me. Just lead me to something. And I don't know that this is the best verse to sum it up, but the thing that my heart set on was this, and I know I spoke on it once if you were here, third period, I mentioned this verse where Jesus said, verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus Christ said to his Father, for their sakes, for those who believe on me, for those who will follow me, for those who will come into this salvation, I pray for them. And I sanctify myself so that they might be sanctified through the truth. Now, in what sense is he is he using that word sanctify about himself? Myself, we said, take myself and keep myself that I may be ever only all for thee. Certainly it can't be that he needed to be purified from anything, any imperfection, for he was perfect from the beginning, of course, perfect without blemish, without sin, without fault. So if he says he's sanctifying himself, for their sakes I sanctify myself, it must be in the other sense that he is setting himself apart unto a work. And we know what that work was. He's going to the cross and doing that which only he can do. And he's doing it for their sakes. Whose sakes? His followers' sakes. Those who would believe on him. Our sakes. For their sakes I separate myself unto this. And the Lord put this in my heart, I believe, to speak again this afternoon just briefly on this verse. For tonight we're coming to his table and we are remembering him. And he sanctified himself. And what did that mean to him? It was an entire consecration. We have, I beseech you therefore, brethren, as a theme verse for this summer too, by the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. Present your bodies, that's the whole package, yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service or your spiritual act of worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life, in your experience. Present yourselves. And if Jesus says, I sanctify myself, that means he gave himself. And we know that he did, to do that which no one else could do. He was sent from heaven to be our Savior, as we sang the other night, our life to live, our death to die. Jesus came, and he sanctified himself for our sakes. He went to the cross for us. I'm sure that was the uppermost thing in his mind, that special work for his Father. He said, that the world may know that I love the Father, let's go. We're going out to Gethsemane, arrest, trial, crucifixion, that the world may know that I love the Father. Here's his eternal purpose, salvation of men and women. I give myself to that. This morning, Brother Tom was playing, and he played outside Holiness Unto the Lord and Christ the Lord is Risen Today. And that was a blessing to me. But in the lodge, he was warming up. And I get to hear that because the room is right there. And I hear him warming up each morning. And that's always a treat, too. And he was playing this. Down from his glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came. And Jesus was his name, born in a manger to his own, a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love him. And one of the verses says, what condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight, God, gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. He sings that very nicely too, by the way. I've heard him do it. It's a great song, great melody, and a great truth. How can you help but love him when he loved you so? How can I help but love him? Down from his splendor, that song goes, in glory he came into a world of woe, took on himself all my guilt and my shame. Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? I am unworthy to take of his grace, wonderful grace so free. Yet Jesus suffered and died in my place, even for a soul like me. How can I help but love him when he loved me so? We love to sing those songs about Jesus. There was a man here earlier in the season, and he said to me, he got me thinking along this line. I don't think we were speaking about this verse. But he said, you know, some people think, well, big deal. Jesus was eternal from the past, eternal to the future, no beginning, no end. So what were 33 years, you know? I'll go down. I know I'm going back. 33 years is nothing, you know? Some people think that way, but it wasn't that way. It wasn't that way. This was what condescension. This was a God who created the worlds, the eternal Son of God. And he became man. What condescension. Endured the contradiction of sinners. The Son of God was tempted by the devil. Can you imagine such a thing? Of course, in all points tempted, just as we are, yet without sin. He overcame for us. He overcame as a man, using the Word of God, which God has given to us, so that we might overcome, be overcomers in his name, by his power. Jesus came down, and it was a great thing that he, the spotless Lamb of God, became our all-atoning sacrifice. The sins of the world were laid upon him. He had to drink that cup. He who knew no sin. What a pressure, what an awful thing for him to taste of any sin, and to take any sin upon him. But we read, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He sanctified himself. He set himself apart. But it wasn't just when he went to the cross. Surely, if God is God, and God is God, then God knows everything. And from the beginning, or I guess I should say from the unbegun beginning, all this was known. Even that we would be here. Even that the Teen Challenge Choir was going to sing for us this afternoon. All this was known in heaven. Because God knows everything. And God knew that man would rebel against him and be prideful and disobedient. He knew all that. And in the councils of eternity, here was the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. He was the designated one. He said it too. David, speaking by the Spirit, says that he said, we know that from Hebrews 1, the Son of God said, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, a body you have prepared for me. Lo, I come to do thy will. In other words, Jesus said, in the councils of eternity, he said, here am I, send me. Send me. This isn't 33 years long. For their sakes I sanctify myself is from eternity past. I can't even wrap my small mind around eternity in either way. I think especially that way. Eternity past, but all the way through. For their sakes I sanctify myself. He knew that you and I would need a Savior. He had a glorious plan to rescue us from sin's dominion, from serving sin itself by putting our trust in the Savior and then bringing us into his kingdom, bringing us into union with himself, reconciled to God, filled with the Spirit, now to live in union with him by his life, under his lordship, part of the eternal kingdom of the eternal King who sits on the everlasting throne and rules and reigns forever. So you think of all that he came to do for us, how he lived here and endured, and then how he died for us, and then how he rose again, died and was buried and was raised and ascended, and now he's in the presence of God for us. That consecration wasn't just at the cross either. That sanctification for our sakes, Hebrews 9, it says, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He has been exalted, and we heard about that from Brother Luton so wonderfully expressed and described. Our hearts were just stirred to think of Jesus exalted far above all principalities and power and might, powers and might and dominion in every name that is named. But there, in that place of power and authority, he thinks of us. He prays for us. Frances Havergal, again, she is the one who helps me to express just what he's doing there. Praying for his children, she says in one of her songs. Praying for his children in that blessed place, calling us to glory, sending us his grace, or maybe calling them, if you look it up in a book, I don't know, but that's us. Calling them to glory, sending them his grace. That's what he's doing. Through death into life everlasting he passed, and we follow him there. Over us sin no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He wants us to see him there in that place of authority and power and fall down before him and acknowledge him as Lord and Master. But he's praying for us. He's there in the presence of God for us. Think of it. Great God, our Savior, the highest place that heaven affords is his by right, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and heaven's eternal light. Yes, once his head was crowned with thorns, but now crowned with glory. He could forget about us, but that's not how it is. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And we have a part in that. We have a part in that till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. And he cares about us. He cares about you and me, fulfilling in all his purpose over us, and therefore being at the right hand of God exalted, he has shed forth this. Who said that? The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost. He was explaining what had happened. Jesus is risen and glorified and exalted, and now at the right hand of the Father, in the place of authority, he sends forth the Spirit. He calls us on to follow him there, and he sends forth the Spirit that we might be empowered, enabled to live for Jesus, to live an overcoming life for him, to be more than conquerors, as your shirts say. For Jesus, he's the one. It's not anything that we can do, for without him we can do nothing. But it's because he's alive that we live. Yes. It's because he is there in that place of authority that we receive all the grace, abundance of grace, and we are enabled to reign with him in life. Remember that wonderful verse in Romans 5, they who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Everything comes from him. Everything is through what he has done for us and what he does for us. And by virtue of our union with Christ, oh, he has raised us from the dead. He lives in our hearts. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he makes us more than conquerors by his grace and through his power as we follow him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But for their sakes, I sanctify myself. That wasn't some little move on his part to come down, as he did. He became a baby. We could spend so much time talking about this. Entirely dependent. Think of it. God who created all things. It's Wesley says, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. You can't fathom the incarnation and what that means. You just have to stop and wonder and adore. That's all you can do. But it was for us. I read in a chapter by Martin Lloyd-Jones where he actually, the book is all about John 17, and I used it as I was preparing and thinking about these things in church. I read this when he was talking about this verse. He says, "Let's stop before I finish this verse. Let's think about this. For their sakes, I sanctify myself." And he took the word there, and he took the word I or myself, either one, has to do with him. And he said, could there be a greater contrast? For whom did Christ sanctify himself? For whom? Think about it. For sinners like me. For people who live in rebellion against God, who don't want him till he conquers in their lives, who turn their backs on him, who disobey him. They're rebels, and he sanctified himself for them. Those who have offended the holiness of God, he sanctified himself for them. And there couldn't be a greater gulf than the there or them and the I, myself, between a holy Savior and sinful men and women like us. There couldn't be. And to think of it, that he sanctified himself for our sakes. That, here's the purpose, that we too might be holy. We could not have been holy. We could not have been changed. We could not be what God wants us to be. We could not fit into our place in his purpose, in his eternal plan, except that the Son of God was willing to sanctify, to set himself apart for our sakes. And that means that we should thank him with all of our hearts and realize that it wasn't just to forgive us of our sins, but to make us holy. And that is God's purpose with us. That's why Jesus is eternally devoted, consecrated to this thing, to create a church, a people that is forgiven of their sins and that is holy. Holy in the sight of a holy God. Because they're justified, yes. And because they are sanctified. That's why Paul prayed, may the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. He knew why Jesus died. And he said, may the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus, what a love you have for your people. Eternally, you have loved us. And you love us this afternoon. You love us. You've never loved us more than you love us right now. for your love doesn't change. And you will never love us less. And we rest in your love. And we thank you for your salvation. And we thank you that you are making us holy and changing our lives from glory to glory, that we might be in the image of your Son. And one day that work will be complete. When we see him as he is, we shall be changed. Praise the Lord. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But he's working, he's blessing us, he's wanting us to bow before him and yield to the marvelous moving of his Spirit, to the holy call, the heavenward call that says, be holy as I am holy. It's not just negative. Holiness is not just negative, like now we don't do this, we don't do what we used to do. That's important. That's important. But there's that positive side that's so very wonderful, to be like Jesus, more and more like him, coming under, as we've been hearing, to go along with the theme, under his lordship, being filled with his Spirit, claiming all that he has purchased for us, all that he has in his heart for us, for their sakes. I sanctify myself, that they too, it's too wonderful, that they too might be sanctified through the truth. Thank you. You are so gracious. Grace and truth came among men by Jesus, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Help us to know you, Lord. Help us to know you in our experience. Make us holy as you are holy. Fulfill all the good pleasure of your will in us, we pray. Make us all that you want us to be. And we thank you that we can trust you to bring us all the way through and to keep us. Keep myself that I may be ever, only, all for thee. I know that you have given yourself like that to me, and I want to give myself to you and love you with all my heart and soul and strength and mind. Listen, nobody ever did that. No one ever fulfilled the greatest commandment. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The second is like unto it. No one ever did that except for one person. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he offers to come and fulfill that tall order, commandment that's impossible to keep, to fulfill that in us, to make us holy as he is holy. Thank you, Lord. Now put a holy press in my heart, Lord. You know how easily we can be distracted and we waver. Lord, take us and make us wholly yours. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us grace. Make us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that we might overcome in your name and be truly more than conquerors through him who loved us and sanctified himself for our sakes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing Holiness Unto the Lord. Our theme song, 44. Shall we stand and sing together? 44 in the white books.
The Lord.
how to do it long, okay?
Yes.
Holy
is the Lord.
I gotta be holy. You know, so many people see that as some burden, something sad, and you say it like what it is.
Hallelujah.
Heavenward call. Oh, how lifted above, out of the miry clay, all this sin and self. To the Savior who died for us and lives for us and calls us on and sends us His grace. I'd like to ask Brother Ed, he's our speaker, Brother Ed Luton. And I'd just like to ask him to pray with us in closing. Brother Luton.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the wonderful call that you have upon us, that you've called us to be holy. You've called us to be your children. You've called us to be your bride. You've called us to walk with you. Your calling is so wonderful, Lord. And our hearts respond. We're so grateful, Lord, for this meeting and for every part of it. We're grateful for the ministry of the Word. And we pray, Lord, that none of it will be lost upon us, but that our hearts will just be saturated and soak it up. And that we will be determined in our hearts, really, Lord, to walk with you in holiness.
Yes,
so now, Lord, we pray that you will dismiss us with your blessing and with your grace. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord bless you all.
Amen.